The world is under the influence of Satan. So we might as well get that from straight. As I heard, I was downtown one day, and there was two people walking down the street, and you could tell they was both high. And they were walking down the street, and the lady said to the man, "I told you that from the giddy up." So I'm telling you from the giddy up that Satan is in control. And we need to come to the realization that he's in control of this world's kingdom. Revelation 15:11.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World.
Illustration last time about that song by Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Ways of the World, and it says that a child is born with a heart of gold. A child is born with a heart of gold, but the ways of the world makes his heart turn cold. Man, how many cold-hearted people do we see in the world who were once children, who came into this world with such a precious heart, who came in to this world filled with dreams and hopes and vision and desire, and yet and still they got caught up, they got under the influence of this world, and the world has turned their heart stone cold. And my desire here is that as you hear this message, that you would allow your heart to be warmed by the fires of God, that you wouldn't allow your heart to become cold as a result of how the world has treated you. Somebody said that the world will wring you out wet and hang you up dry, and that's about the size of it. You know, the world is a cold place. I remember I was in a tent meeting in New Mexico a couple of years ago, and there was a young lady that gave a testimony, and she told how that she went into the world, that she was brought up in the church, and how that she strayed away from the teachings of her mother and got back into the world, and finally the Lord got a hold of her heart, and she said something that I'll never, ever forget. She said that when I was out there away from God, when I was out there in the world, this is what she said. She said it was a cold, dark place. And that's what the world has to offer. It's a cold, dark. Oh, we might think that we're having fun, and we might think that there's a whole lot to be gained, but the world in the end is a cold, dark place. Now, we see, as I pointed out last time, Satan controls this world. So we need not wonder. This world is not controlled by God. This world is under the influence of the devil. Now, I know that God is over the world, and God can intervene at any point in time he desires, because the songwriter said, this is my Father's world. The Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God can intervene at any time and point that he wants to. But for some reason, God has allowed Satan to be in control of this world. We see in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. We see in Ephesians 2:2, he's the prince of the power of the air. We see in John 12:31 and 16:11, he's the prince of this world. And we see in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies under his control. So Satan is in, that, you know, make no bones about it, that he is in control of this world. Now, what areas of the world does he control? As we think about the areas of the world that he control, we see that there's basically four areas of influence that he has. First of all, he influences the kingdoms of this world. Satan is in control of Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Libya, and America. It kills me how that we as Christians around the time of especially presidential elections, how we get angry at one another, and how that there's all this strife and division among Christians. You know, I was sharing with the people on Wednesday, the last election, I had a pastor that loved the Lord. I mean, he loved the Lord and he preached his word. And he said that there's no way I would vote for Barack Obama because he believes in abortion. And yet and still, I had some pastors over on the other side who loved the Lord, who preached the word of God, who said that there's no way in the world they wouldn't vote for Barack Obama because of the programs and things that he stood for. Now, I'm looking at this, preachers that love God, that preach the word of God, and here they are divided. And that's what I'm saying. This world, you know, no matter who's in control and who sits in the White House, the world is under the influence of Satan. So we might as well get that from straight. As I heard, I was downtown one day, and there was two people walking down the street, and you could tell they was both high. And they were walking down the street, and the lady said to the man, "I told you that from the giddy up." So I'm telling you from the giddy up that Satan is in control. And we need to come to the realization that he's in control of this world's kingdoms. Revelation 15:11. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, and I didn't say this the last time, but Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world. This is not his world. And if you are a citizen, if you are a child of God, then you are in a kingdom that's not in control by Christ. He controls the affairs of this world, the commerce, the economics, the businesses, the commercial industry. That's all controlled by Satan. Thank God for Christian businessmen and Christian business people who let God guide and direct their business. Because what are they trying to do? They are trying to disrupt this whole economic flow that's under the system and under the guidance of Satan. Satan controls the desires of this world. The Bible says that all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and this is not of the Father. It's not of the Father. So if it's not of the Father, then who is it of? It must be of the evil one. He controls the desires of this world. And not only that, but he controls the people of this world. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil, and you do his will." The Bible says that Cain killed Abel because he was influenced by the evil one, by the wicked one. So the eras of satanic influence, the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of this world, the affairs of this world, the desires of this world, and the people of this world. And how does Satan drive this world system? He drives it in four ways, as we looked at last time. He drives it by fortune. He drives it by fame. He drives it by power, and he drives it by pleasure. That people who under his system, people that are under his control, that they are all about fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. And that's the devil's kingdom. And so all you got to do is go downtown during a weekday and see the commerce and see what is driving people. Business. Fortune, fame, power. Turn on your TV. What drives Wall Street? Fortune, fame, power, pleasure. What is the driving force of our society? Fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. That's why we thank God for God's people who bring another perspective to this existence. I have a video clip that I wanted to share. I don't know if you got it queued up back there. Is it queued up, Brother Jeff? But what it shows us is how that it's very easy for us to get caught up in this world system. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves as believers, we will find ourselves as the people of God caught up in this whole pursuit of fortune, of fame, of power, or of pleasure. All right. Well, you got the gist of what it was saying. All right. This world is crazy. It's easy to get caught up in the world. All the stuff that's going on. And we as Christians, you know, just the mass confusion that's out there and how that if we're not careful, we will find ourselves slipping into and almost absorbed into the morass of this system. And we'll turn around and look and say, ask the question, how did I get here? And we'll find that we have allowed the world to turn our heart into a cold, cruel place. And I want to share with you this morning, how can we avoid getting caught up? Because it's here. And how can we as Christians avoid getting caught up in this world? How do we keep our hearts warm and sensitive so that God can speak to us and that we can interrupt Satan's kingdom and we can interrupt Satan's flow? If you tie into this world, at some point, something is going to happen to cause your heart to turn cold. And it's going to turn stone cold, and you'll find yourself caught up in the system, not caring, not sharing, and it's all about the devil's kingdom. And we won't even know it. We won't even know it. I put a insert or handout in the bulletin today, and what I'd like to focus on the rest of this message is how you can have a warm heart in a cold world. How you can have a warm heart in a cold world. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, keep in mind that this kingdom is not of this world. That God's kingdom is not of this world. But if we were to read the Beatitudes, we would see that these are principles for living in God's kingdom. That if we are going to live in God's kingdom, you know, God said, or Jesus told the disciples when he taught them the model prayer, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." God's kingdom is not here right now. The only shape and form that God's kingdom is here right now is in your heart. That's the only place that God's kingdom is present. And if we as the citizens of God's kingdom don't represent the king in a foreign land, in a satanic kingdom, then who is? And so in Matthew chapter 5, we read the principles that God's people are to live by in his kingdom. And so we translate that to where we are today. He says in chapter 5 and verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom, the principles to live by in the kingdom of God. How to have a warm heart in a cold world. First of all, you got to be selfless. You got to be selfless. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." The hearts of people of this world become cold because they step on others to satisfy their own spirits. People have a desire to get ahead, and sometimes they don't care who they step on to get ahead. I remember somebody telling me about a movie they saw where there was two guys that grew up as friends, and they got caught up in the drug world, and one of them didn't pay for the drugs, and he went up to his friend, and he shot him, and he killed him. And just before he shot him and he killed him, now these guys grew up together, right? They were childhood friends together. And just before he shot him, he turned to him and he said, "Look, dog, it's all about business." And that's the world that we live in. It's all about business. And if we are going to bring God's kingdom to this world, it can't be all about business. If we are going to bring God's kingdom, we have to have a selfless spirit. Those who are poor in spirit have not set their desires on seeking the fame, fortune, power, and pleasure of this world. That if you are poor in spirit, if you are selfless, then you have sought kingdom principles. You have sought the kingdom of God. You have sought how you might glorify God. And we have people sitting all in this congregation today that have sought God, and God has given them their own business. God has put them in important places in our society. He has put them in political fields. He has put them in the corporate world because they have sought him, and he has brought them to that place in the devil's kingdom. But the minute you start seeking fortune, fame, power, and pleasure, you become selfish. And it becomes all about you. And that's not bringing God's kingdom to interrupt the devil's kingdom. And yet and still, that's what we see all the time. And that's what the devil wants people to do. He wants them to be selfish. He wants those four things. If you could put those four things back up there, AJ. Those four things that the devil wants to drive in the lives of people. We getting to it? One more. There you go. That is what the devil is driving. And he drives every individual to be pursuing either one of those things, several of those things, or all of those things. And the minute that you get caught up in that, then you cease to be a representative of the kingdom of God. And now you are entering, even as a child of God, even as a Christian, you are entering the control of the devil. There's nothing wrong with fortune, fame, power, or pleasure. But if that's what you're seeking, if that becomes your goal in life, then you've missed kingdom principles. Amen. And you've missed kingdom living. Amen. So if you are going to have a warm heart in a cold world, you can't get caught up in the rat race. You know, again, going back to the DVD, the clip. Here was a guy that was caught up in the moray of life. All these things around him, pulling, tugging, pushing, dragging. And if you begin to consume things upon self, you'll find yourself in that same rat race. Secondly, if we are going to have a warm heart in a cold world, we've got to be empathetic. Jesus said in verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn." Blessed are they that mourn. Back in the 70s, there was a song that was entitled, "It's Easy to Be Hard." Part of the song went like this: "How can people be so heartless? How can people be so cruel? It's easy to be hard. It's easy to be cold. How can people have no feelings? How can they ignore their friends?" Very easy. When you're caught up in the control of Satan, you lose that empathy. You lose that compassion. You lose that heart and desire for others. The word "mourn" here in verse 4 comes from a Greek word that means to feel compassion for somebody else. It means that you have compassion, that this is the ability to put yourself in the place of another person and try to feel what they feel. And as kingdom people, we've got to know how to do that. We can't divorce ourselves from the society and the hurting people and the needs around us. We've got to keep our hearts in tune with the hurting and those that are in need. Last Thursday evening, I had the opportunity to go to a banquet, and it was with the Women's Choice Network. And what their objective is, they try to talk young ladies who are getting ready to have an abortion, and they try to talk them into keeping having their children. But the beautiful thing I like about this program is that not only do they try to talk the young ladies into keeping their baby or putting their baby up for adoption, but then they come and they walk with them the whole way. And they provide medical assistance, and they provide clothes and cribs and strollers and encouragement and people to have Bible study. And man, I tell you what, and so it's very easy. I find that in this world we live in, and I know that some people will be offended by what I'm getting ready to say, but you know, I make no bones about it. I'm a pro-life pastor, so there might not be a whole lot that I'm not, but one thing's I am. I am a pro-life pastor. And you know, and we become so cold-hearted. My granddaughter asked me the other day, she said, Pop, where did you and Grandma go? And I said, we went to this this dinner for young ladies who have babies, and they were trying to talk them into keeping them. And she said, well, why were they doing that? I said, because some people kill their babies in the womb. And she said, do they really? She said, I mean, here's a little 10-year-old. Her heart is sensitive to the fact that there are babies dying in the womb. But you know, it's just a mass. It's just a fetus. It's just a glob of flesh. I mean, and that's what people want to tell us. But in the womb, David said in Psalm 139, it said, Lord, you knew me when I was in the womb, that you wrote down all my members, that you figured out all my days, that you communicated with me when I was in the womb, that I had feeling, I had thought, I had emotion when I was in the womb. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yet and still, we lose that. As a society, we are no longer sympathetic, and Jesus says that if we lose that sympathy, because Satan, I tell you what, Satan is cold. And let me say this now, and then I'm going to move on. But there is a target for African Americans. They are targeting us as we grow up. Look at all the young men that are being killed. You know, on a daily basis across our country. Young men that are being killed. And every new abortion clinic that pops up is not out in Wexford. It's not out in Cranberry. It's not out in Mount Pleasant. It's not out in Mount Lebanon. It's right here in our community, right in our city. So they're getting us on that end, and they're getting us on this end. If I've never seen a historic case of modern day lynching, we're seeing it today. You know, when they were trying to get, you know, when the Africans came over here and during slavery time, and they served the purposes of the people here, and then when the Africans or African Americans began to be liberated, now they had brought all these people from Africa over here, right? And they had begun to reproduce, and now you got a problem. You know, they can't work on the plantation anymore. They can't work on the cotton field anymore. So what we got to do? We got to start getting rid of them. So that from that point, there was a targeted attack. Now, is it any wonder why so many African Americans are killing each other in the African American community? I mean, it's just overwhelming.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.